Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Hello. Live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And the adventures of live radio, somehow we were hoping to have in our great doubleheader today, Ken Taylor, Dr. Speed, the author of Psychology of Speed, the former Chicago Bears Super Bowl 85 champion. I had half his teammates in orthotics. So we're going to see if we can get this connection. And then we're going to go to England. UK, we've got returning James Roberts. He's the host of the Mindset Athlete podcast. He's a two-time Paralympian, and he's a transformation coach. Then we'll talk a little bit of the sports doctors in and some emails. While we're waiting for Ken, let's talk a little bit about the subject on everybody's mind, which is how and when are sports going to open, and in what form besides no fans? The challenge of sports with athletes being many times on top of each other, banging into each other, sweating on each other. So with the tremendous pressure on everybody, financial pressure, all sorts of mental pressure, physical pressure on everybody. It's going to be, pardon my French, a crapshoot to see how this comes out, whether or not we'll be able to see the, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the National Hockey League, whether it's baseball, if they ever get their act together, or the NFL. You're talking players on top of each other. Sometimes a lot, you know, something like golf, something like tennis, for the most part, without fans, you absolutely could get away with those kinds and other kinds of matches. But one of the incredible challenges is going to be in college sports, the multi-billion-dollar world of college Division I. Sports, football, basketball, March Madness, everything else in between, let alone all the other sports that really, really depend on the revenue of the big two, two and a half, and that's basketball and football and baseball somewhat. Soccer also, I would throw in that category. And, you know, this is right on top of us, you know, as we speak. Which, you know, my granddaughter Lola is looking forward to being a freshman at the University of Illinois, and she's expecting to go. Some schools are really expecting absolutely to have students on campus, and it's still kind of up in the air. We're going to have to see how it goes. It's until there's a vaccine, we might see we've got to back off. So hopefully we'll get lucky. Now, the whole world, of course, that we talk so much about on the Sports Doctor, which is youth sports, is a whole other tremendous challenge. You know, it's interesting. When I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharky Zartman, okay, well, I'm live. Then I'm going to go back to what I was talking about, and we'll see if we luck out with Ken. And we were talking about the challenge of youth sports. We were talking about the virus and the pandemic, COVID-19, and these challenges. And I was just beginning to talk about the idea with youth sports, mm-hmm. the fact that I had co-authored the book. But, Ken, I hear you. I hear you're out of the tunnel. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Just traveling through
all
the
right,
mountains
man.
of beautiful Oregon.
Okay, yeah. Ken Taylor is the Dr. Speed. He's a former Chicago Super Bowl 85 champion. I had half the team in orthotics. Ken, give us a little bit of a quickie background on what you've been doing since the Bears and the whole world of coaching speed.
So thank you for having me on. Yes, ever since I quit playing football, since I retired, I started working with athletes. And one thing that I found is they couldn't simply run. And as we know, speed changes everything. So what I do is I help athletes understand what it feels like to run faster with less effort through the science of teaching them how the body works, how it moves, and earth physiology, things like gravity, momentum, inertia. And
yes, now your background,
Ken.
You have a background, in exercise physiology, right, and in biomechanics. So you're coming also from the scientific end with your athletes.
You are correct. That's my degree from Oregon State University, which explains half of why I'm here in Oregon. So I graduated in exercise physiology and biomechanics, and that type of science and studying how the body moves efficiently and how it's designed to move really helped me become a faster athlete. And I wasn't a slow athlete, but I certainly wasn't fast. But once I figured out how to run faster and not get tired doing it, oh, it just absolutely changed my world. That extra 3 yards of speed in the NFL makes a huge, huge difference.
Oh, yes. And of course, it's interesting idea, like the name of your book, The Psychology of Speed, but athletes would ask all the time, you know, I'm naturally as quick. But when we're talking quickness and agility and balance and stability, that all has an awful lot to do with explosiveness and quickness. So speed is a skill that could be really, really improved and trained, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just like everything, it can be improved. I always use an analogy of a baseball player. If you swing a baseball bat perfectly but at the wrong time, you can't hit the ball well. So I get athletes that are hardworking. They've been doing conditioning drills, weight training, everything, coached well. And they come to me and their timing is off. Their stride is too long. It's too long by a foot, too long by 6 inches. Their stride is too short, produces a high back kick. Their arms are crossing, their head is moving around, torso. Things are off. So what I do is I help them understand what it feels.
Yeah, Ken is in and out. I'm going to have to see if I can get him back for a full interview because of the problems we've had. But he got across a couple of great points, you know, which is you can train speed, and it definitely is a science, the quickness, agility, and stamina. So we will definitely get Ken back. I don't know if he's going to pop back in and out with live radio. But unfortunately, we got cut off while he was coming back from his daughter's graduation at University of Oregon, where he is an alum. And, back to what we were talking about with youth sports, with high school sports, with all of these things that many times are involved now. You have Ken back?
Yes. So sorry, guys.
Okay. Ken, give me the website, Ken, that people could find out about your book and about you and your background.
Yes, sir. My website is my name, my full name, Kenneth D, as in Daniel, KennethDTaylor.com. KennethDTaylor.com. And my program is called The Psychology of Speed.
Now, yes, that's an interesting title, Ken, before we lose you. And I was mentioning we're definitely going to have you back when we have some full time and you're not coming in and out of tunnels. I did congratulate your daughter for her graduation, if we might have missed you. The title of the book, again, The Psychology of Speed, is a dynamite title because it's so much of a mental game also, isn't it?
Correct. If you don't know what you're doing, it's hard to do things well. And, of course, with the Chicago Bears, I had coaches who believed in that, of course, and Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan. You can be the greatest athlete, but if you don't know where you're going and what you're doing, it doesn't matter.
Oh, gosh, yes. Gary Fencek trained with us for years. with Bob Guida and Sports Fitness Institute, the late Dave Duerson, Richard Dent, yes. McMahon wore my orthotic. So, you know, we were many times into the super importance of strengthening the feet and ankles. I don't care who you are or how good an athlete you are. Strengthen those ankles with rubber bands. Work balance and stability. Tilt boards, Bosu's, et cetera. That's my two cents from the sports doctor, Ken. We're talking about quickness. I don't care how much you could bench press. I want to know if you could balance on one foot and how your ankle strength is. And you pay big attention to that stuff in the world of biomechanics, don't you?
You bet. You cannot change directions well or quickly if your balance is off. So I have many, many times, thousands of athletes who are quick athletes, but they don't react quickly in the field of play. And you look at it and examine, it's like, oh, well, your balance is off, you know, a foot. You have to wait until you get on balance, and then you can change direction. So when you're moving, as you're accelerating and backpedaling or doing crossbacks or sidesteps, your torso must be in balance.
Yeah, Kenny, give me, because we're going to run out of time. Give me the website again. Is it Kenneth Taylor?
KennethDTaylor.com.
KennethDTaylor.com. Quickly, correct. Also, how young do you start working with any of these boy or girl athletes?
It depends, but about 9 years old, 8 to 9, as long as they are willing to think about being an athlete in a different way and how involved they are mentally. And if they can stay engaged for 45 minutes, we can do a good job for them.
Yes, the mental game is a big deal on the sports doctor. You know, that whole side of everything. That's why I always ask guests like yourself, you know, how your sports psychology skills are. You know, when you're working with coaches, you're working with parents. So I know we got a little messed up. We mixed in and out with Ken Taylor, the ex-great Chicago Bear, the doctor of speed, Kenneth DTaylor.com, but we will have him back. Hold on, Ken. We'll be right back, everybody.
Love to be back.
Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Everybody, welcome back to the crazy day with the sports doctor live in Chicago. Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years, see the topics, see the guests, listen to whatever you would like. Sometimes we have some fun with the guests, but we're going to across the pond now. We've got James Roberts back. James, everybody, is the host of the Mindset Athlete podcast. He's a two-time Paralympian. He's a transformation coach. So I want to welcome back James Roberts. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor, my friend.
Thank you very much, Bob, for having me back on.
I thought let's jump right in and give us a quickie background of you and your journey to becoming an Olympian and your whole transformation coach world.
Gosh, you give me a difficult question straight off the bat, but I'll do my best. obviously, I come from a military background, with both my parents being in the forces. And that's probably what's instilled that kind of work ethic that I've had, both as an athlete and then obviously now becoming a coach myself. So I think I had that single swim mentality. It's like and I think this situation is probably as close as adversity as I've ever faced in my entire life. And I think it has been a learning curve, this pandemic, for me. And people are probably surprised to hear that. But I think the upbringing that I had, the family support that I had around me, I think has obviously propelled me to that arena that I was able to obviously make the Olympics. So I think I downplay it a little bit probably too much. And I'm probably learning to get better at that. But I think that's what keeps me grounded a little bit. I don't get too big-headed of the achievements I've got. I like to keep it real in terms of I'm
so what
no
event?
Different than. And,
I know you were in you were in Beijing in 2008, 2012 in London. So wheelchair basketball, James?
No, that's a sport I transitioned to when I came back home from London after the games. But I competed in 2008 in rowing. And in 2012 in sitting volleyball.
Wow, I'm off which particular sport it was when we had seen the last time. Again, you know, when did you lose your leg, James?
I was born with my disability, Bob, so I've never known anything different. So I think I think it gives me the skill set to be able to talk to people with a physical ailment, and I gain their trust a lot quicker because ultimately they can see it from, obviously you and I are friends on Facebook as well, they can see the relatability of I go through daily struggles just like everybody else, and I think that normalizes it within me. They don't have to describe the hardships they face because they can. I'm one that won't gloss over it. It's I'll show the good, the bad, and the indifferent to a certain degree on social media. So I think people are in a little bit in awe of that because it takes a lot of vulnerability to be able to do that. But I think for me, it shows that relatability that I am okay. I've been lucky enough to represent my country at the highest stage within those sports. But I think having my own struggles and it normalizes an athlete because I think be it whatever, even I've listened to Kenneth's interview before I came on, I think the athletes are put on a pedestal. We don't deem ourselves any better than anybody else. But I think from a societal perspective, people think that because of I think it's a mindset as we are going to overcome adversity no matter what, be a wall that's placed in it, we'll find a way around. Whereas I think maybe other people find that more difficult to do. So they put people who are able to achieve those great feats on a pedestal where I don't think they really need to be, that it doesn't really need to be that divide.
You know, it's interesting. All these years, again, I'm a sports podiatrist and we talk all aspects of sports performance, injuries, et cetera. whether it's youth sports, whether it's the best athlete in the planet or their grandmother. And yet, for decades, we've talked about the mental game, the whole mental side of everything, whether, again, it's facing the challenge of a disability, whether it's facing the challenge of coming back from a serious injury, whether it's now, what I talked about at the beginning of the show, because Ken was in and out of tunnels. It was a comedy with live radio where we were talking about the pandemic and the cooped up athletes of every sport at every level for months who have been faced with the challenges of all of it, coming back, et cetera. So the mental game has always been such a big part of so many of the different things in sports medicine and fitness and wellness that we talk about. And your podcast, The Mindset Athlete, and by the way, what's the best website information, James, that people could find out about you and your podcast?
The best website to find more about me would be fitamputee, so all one word, .co.uk. And for the podcast itself, you can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Okay. Yes. So the Mindset Athlete podcast, what's your take what you're talking about and paying attention to on your podcast?
I think it is to give the athlete per se a platform and to give people who are not in that sport in a bubble kind of a behind the scenes look at of a hardship that be it a coach, an athlete, an academic has had to overcome to get where they are at now. And I think because sport glosses over, you know, the process and we take it for granted, the athletes, I think the podcast enables people to be able to see what that looks like, and I will probably probe a little bit further with an athlete to kind of say, well, here's your chance to give your life story from people know about you now, but how did you get there? And to kind of be like the behind the scenes. I think the most recent one I did with a female athlete that had multiple injuries, both as a child and at the collegiate level, and is now a coach. We talked about the competition versus comparison, how it's deemed from the mindset perspective as what is competitive and what is a comparative. And I think most people, it opened my eyes as to, well, competition is always deemed or demonized outside of sport as bad, whereas in fact most of the time that's comparison. And it got me to kind of say, well, I questioned other, I did it as a Facebook Live that day of the recording, and I asked people, where do you think that you lie on that pendulum? And a lot of people were turning around, I'm competitive in this, but I'm comparative in that. So I said, no, that's not comparative of yourself. That's competitive, because you're looking at how can you better yourself from last week to today, which is progression, which is a good thing. And obviously to, I don't know, be comparative to what somebody on the front of a magazine, if everybody can relate to that, comparative. So I think it was a big eye-opener to me, and I think it's going to probably be a very good episode for, I think, from a...
Yes, you know, it's interesting, James. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I had one of our colleagues on, matter of fact, from UK, Gordon McClelland, working with Parents in Sports is his organization. And we've had on the National Alliance of Youth Sports and iSport 360, which helps communicate parents and coaches. And the whole idea of the individual, besides just the athlete, quote unquote, has become a very, very important part, it seems, knock on wood, of all aspects of training, whether it, again, is the relationship between that young athlete and their coach, whether it's the relationship of that young athlete and their parents, whether it's the relationship of that young athlete and their teammates. And again, in the sports medicine side, where we would see one of the reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries. Too much, too aggressive, too overscheduled, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a very, very big concern. So the idea of taking into account like all these things you were just talking about becomes, I think, very, very important so that we don't get, for instance, an overzealous parent, that the season doesn't go by in the United States in the spring and summer without having 10 incidents of some sort of hassles with overzealous, crazy, screaming parents at some sort of youth game, et cetera. So this whole relationship, maybe I ought to call it the mindset parents. You know?
Well, It is. You bring up a poignant point, Bob, because ultimately, I was very lucky that I came from a household that my parents weren't like that. They didn't want to live a past life through me. Every sport that I was put in was for me. Okay, I needed probably a kick up the ass occasionally to kind of say, well, you need to put more importance on the sport that you're doing versus, and this is when I was still swimming, versus...
You know, we're going to talk more about it, James. We're going to talk more about all of that. We're going to come back for another 8-minute segment. Everybody, it's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website. GlobalSchoolWear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking across the pond. UK, James Roberts, he's a two-time Paralympian. He was in Beijing in 2008 and London in 2012. He's the host of the Mindset Athlete podcast. He's James Roberts Fitness. We were talking about all of that when we hit the break. And tell us about James Roberts Fitness. You're a coach, really, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right, Bob. That's kind of come about probably fall into coaching accidentally, because my family is always like, well, you'd learn so much from being coached as an athlete. Why don't you give back to be it the general populace, athletes themselves, and people that obviously wants to improve their overall health and well-being. So I was reluctant for a few years after I retired in 2013. And it seems a long time ago to say in that. But ultimately I've done that, and now that's been 5 years of steady work and working with probably hundreds and hundreds of people, helping them change their lives. And I think somebody did quiz me on this in terms of, you've changed as an individual, and I question that, because it's like, because they said I was a different person as an athlete versus a coach. And what I mean by that is, they said that you gave more as an athlete to other people than you do as a coach, which I disagree, because ultimately, sport.
I think you're right.
For yourself, And then ultimately, as you progress, be it to the collegiate level, if you're fortunate enough, or make it to the pros, your name on the back is as important as the name on the front. I don't think it should be that way, but I disagree with that person, because ultimately I maybe motivate and inspire people to maybe get up and get off the couch. But as a coach, I can change their entire life, their family, their around them, their colleagues. It has more of a knock-on, you know, like a domino effect, in terms of you don't know how much of an impact you've had on, you know, 10 people, 100 people down the line, that because they've got a better self-esteem, better standing of themselves, more confident.
What ages do you deal with, James? What, just in general, with adults who are just trying to be fit, trying to stay healthy, or are you dealing with serious young athletes?
It's mostly, I think the youngest person I have dealt with was a teenager, and he is now in the GB Academy for Wheelchair Basketball. So I worked with him before he made that, so he's kind of progressed along the way, and he was, I think, 17 when I worked with him. But most of the age range would probably be in their early 20s and upwards, so obviously adults wanting to get back to the physique that they once had.
So do you also deal, I'm sure you do, because I've seen it in some of your, as a matter of fact, I think I was supposed to be on your show last year, the 2 years ago, whatever, we got to follow through with that. You pay attention to the importance of the nutritional side of things. Again, you pay big attention to the attitudinal side of things. In the United States, of course, you can't go 5 minutes on television without watching a commercial for drugs, for prescription medicine. There's a pill for everything. It's a very difficult problem here. And if it's not a drug commercial, James, it's a diet commercial. And, of course, you have childhood obesity is a nightmare for you as well as it is here. So the challenge of changing habits for people and getting them to stick with the habits, how's that going?
Well, I think people want to run before they can walk. And ultimately what I mean by that is they want to take on probably too much too soon, and I'm probably more of a let's walk first. You obviously want to take some of the attributes that I've learned from sport, because I could probably balance multiple plates at one go, but that's probably because I've got the fundamentals down to a T. I've got the foundations of that house, so I can chuck on multiple things straight away. So I kind of get them to do the simple things. Obviously increase protein, drink more water, eat more vegetables. So something that is simple in terms of a goal, just increasing, having, like, I don't know, for example, having one more glass of water a day, having one more meal that includes vegetables, and just things like that, that it's not either too daunting or overwhelming on the individual, because I don't want to make them take on too much and they kind of go, oh, I can't cope. I need to quit. So
it's a big problem.
Pull back on the reins.
You know, it's interesting. At the beginning of every year, James, here in the United States, Chicago area, I would have various people in the gym industry, fitness center industry, come on at the beginning of the year, and they talk about people's New Year's resolutions and all of these different things. And a lot of times by around March or so, you'd see the same faces at the gym as always were there. And that, very, very well said, like you just mentioned, point of getting people to stay with it and to understand if they could do something that's enjoyable, then they have a much better chance. But, you know, you said something very, very important. You talked about starting off a little bit more gradually. I call sometimes the problem, James, the terrible twos, which is doing either too much, or the person's doing too much too soon, or they're being too aggressive with their son or daughter, athlete, or themselves, and they get injured. And that becomes a problem, and they back out, or they quit, or it becomes overbearing. And that's, I think, exactly what you pay attention to, it sounds like.
Well, I think, and this is probably where it's. I think I had to take a step back with my training during the pandemic, because I was going a bit too overzealous, and my body let me know, no, James, you need to back off. But ultimately, I know that as a warning sign, whereas maybe Joe Average might not know that. And it does come back to the importance of rest, recovery, and sleep, because that is just as important as the activity and or the stimulus that you're trying to create.
Well, you know what's also a big deal, James? Again, when we have on champions like yourself, is you've been there. You've been there. You've been at the top of the world. And therefore, you can counsel those parents, that athlete, those coaches about all aspects. You could talk to someone whose son or daughter or themselves is a training for an Olympic event. Or you could be talking to that overweight person who's just trying to get on some sort of a type of program. So I think, you know, you walk in with a lot of cred when you talk about your kind of background. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I think both of them are equal footing, Bob, because I think ultimately it is a mindset. I think the parent or coach that's coming from an athletic background is probably a little bit on further along that continuum, because ultimately they're putting themselves in the right and making the right choices versus somebody that maybe slightly overweight has, in their own language, made the bad choices. I would ultimately get them to shift the script a little bit and okay, don't be so hard on yourself.
That's a great term. That is a great term, shift the script. James Roberts, two-time Paralympian. James, give me quickly, please, the best website for them to check out your program.
You can find me at fitamputees, all one word, .co.uk. And you can find the podcast, The Mindset Athlete, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Great. James, thanks so much. Hold on quickly, James. Everybody, we'll be right back. Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We've had a real adventure today with my first guest, Speed Co., the Speed Doctor, coming back from Oregon, in and out of tunnels, coming in and out. And then we had our guest from UK, from England, James Roberts, a little bit of technical. And, of course, our experts here, the brothers, the Newsomes, will make it sound good as new. So welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment. We give some preview of the upcoming shows, answer some emails, give you an update on the online course and the book. I've got some great guests coming up next week. Matter of fact, all four of these guests are members of the expert panel on Hey Sports Parents and Sports Doctors In. Dr. Steve Horwitz, a chiropractic physician. He was a champion weightlifter. He is the creator of Team Safe Sports. It's a tremendous program of whatever the organization, being prepared from A to Z in all aspects of youth sports, health, and safety. And then Natalie Graves. Natalie is a social worker who specializes in young athletes and their families and their life. She's coming back following week, July 1. Gina Pongetti. Gina is one of the real champions in the world of physical therapy. She works with many of the theaters. She's written and worked with the world of gymnastics for years. She was involved in our book that John Harmata, Mr. Edge, authored, The Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury, that Gina participated. And then Joel Franco. Joel is working on that great upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. I'm very excited about being part of that. Been working on this thing for 2 years, so great stuff coming up. Couple of emails. Gene says, do my orthotics that I jog with work for golf? Absolutely, Gene. There's few times we would need something special, almost never. Just make sure the golf shoe feels comfortable with the orthotic in, whether you replace the insole, whether you have the type of orthotic that you put it on top of the insole, but absolutely the same orthotic that you jog in, you will be able to put in a golf shoe and with no concern at all. Just make sure that the removable insole is the same fit. Anna, my 13-year-old daughter, is a figure skater. She does double jumps. Her knees have been a problem for a long time. I've heard you talk about orthotics before. I'll talk about it again, Anna. Half the girls in almost 40 years of putting orthotics in figure skates that I've seen have been knee problems. And it's not, oh, I tore a knee or I tore a leg. That's an orthopedic problem, sometimes a surgical problem. I'm talking about it hurts jumper's knee too much, and many times it's foot-related, especially in skating. Typically, foot mechanics absolutely affect the twist and torque of the knee, especially in young, developing, either adolescent or female athletes with wider hips and more of an angle down to the knee. The great news is proper orthotics make a very, very big difference. Not as the only thing. I'm assuming and recommending, Anna, that you are making sure she's in the right boot for her foot type and is fit properly, that she is seeing physical therapy or she's seen physical therapy. She maybe has been screened by orthopedics, that she didn't tear anything or anything at all like that. And that's what we combine then, the biomechanics, alignment. You don't have anything, super feet. We've put super feet in skates for 30 years. They're not a custom orthotic, but many times they're a great first step. Check out podiatry with that. Doug says, what's the difference, we're just talking about, between over-the-counter and custom orthotics? The difference is it's a prescription. Custom orthotic is a prescription for your particular foot, ankle, alignment, range of motion, support, etc. Over-the-counter is size 8, size 9. It can get more sophisticated if you have a high arch. Sometimes in the middle, you can go to a kiosk and step on a doctor's shoals and hopefully get fit. It's not the same as being professionally fit, ideally by podiatry, sometimes physical therapy. Happy Father's Day. I think I left that out with the chaos at the beginning of the show. Again, my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, it's on Amazon. It's a great gift for any parent who has a child in sports. I talked about it at the beginning of the show. The co-author, longtime volleyball coach, Hall of Fame volleyball player herself, radio host, health professor, Sharky Zartman, is my co-author. And the first segment of the book called Sports Parenting 101, she talks about all aspects, of levels of training and choosing coaches and different kinds of goals, et cetera, including abuse, that topic. Second section is Sports Doctors In, and that's me. I talk about orthotics. I talk about shoes. I talk about strengthening feet and ankles and balance. And we also include some of the topics like concussions and high-performance training, et cetera. The third section is Ask the Experts. We have eight different experts in the area of nutrition, physical training, mental training, coaching, parenting. Great section of the book. And the final section is as good parents' perspectives, opinions of some of the moms and dads regarding raising a child athlete. Doesn't have to be a champion, raising a child athlete. All the experts and the parents have been radio guests, by the way. We've got a lot of excitement brewing with the Sports Doctor Online. It's called Hey Sports Parents, Sports Doctors In. If you go to www.thesportsdoctor.online, you'll see the website and you'll get all sorts of information. Basically, it's Dr. Bob, me, the sports doctor, acting as the quarterback when I have parents or coaches call with a question, whether it's about a specific injury, whether it's about some sort of rehab, whether it's about all sorts of aspects of youth sports. We then can consult with them and refer them to my team of over 20 experts in all areas of fitness, nutrition, high performance, mental training, coaching, parenting, etc. So check that out, www.thesportsdoctor.online. It's an adventure. Catch you next week, everybody. Stay safe. Sports Doctor.